From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
I'm Madeline Brand. Just 2 weeks from tomorrow is the first caucus where national politics will play out in Iowa.
In these 15 days, we're going to focus on the fortunes of Republican and Democratic candidates.
And today's focus, the campaign of Hillary and Bill Clinton. In a few minutes, New York Times writer Matt Bai previews a big article this weekend on Clintonism, the legacy that is both a help and a hurdle for Hillary.
Just how much help is Bill Clinton, or is it possible for a man to say too much?
Not for you there, Tiger. First, let's go to Iowa.
That's where NPR's David Green has been following Senator Clinton this week. She and her surrogates have set out to get through all 99 counties in Iowa before the caucuses, which are now barely more than 2 weeks away. David, welcome back to Day Today.
Thanks, Alex.
Mixed news this week, I think, for Senator Clinton. She got the endorsement of the Des Moines Register, but there have been so many stories about the rise of Senator Obama. How does she look on the campaign trail there?
Well, I think the Register endorsement seemed to give her a bit of a boost. She even joked at an event yesterday that maybe she's got her groove back. And so she's on this tour, and she talks about the Des Moines Register endorsement. But she's also, in a way, reintroducing herself to Iowa. And this is pretty late in the game to be doing that. She's bringing out friends who knew her, one friend from grade school who talked about how Hillary Clinton, when she was a young girl, would take her thick glasses off if a boy was around she wanted to flirt with. And I think one big question is this humanizing effort too late with only a couple weeks left? And who exactly are they targeting?
I saw this very interesting story, or I thought it was, in the New York Times earlier this week, writing that her husband, the former president, is asserting himself more and more in the campaign. Do you see that?
It's hard to say because in public, you know, they're so careful about the way they use Bill Clinton and how much. He was campaigning with her at a grocery store in Des Moines, and we pulled the former president aside for a few minutes to talk with a few reporters, and he said they're trying to accelerate this process of people getting to know her in a short period of time. And I sort of took that as him thinking that maybe this should have happened earlier, and so perhaps he's behind some of this. There's also been talk that he's shaping the final message for the campaign in the final weeks and how Hillary Clinton deals with talking about change and bringing something new, but also talking about his legacy in the past. But it's hard to say exactly what he's doing, but it certainly seems like he's very involved in some way.
On the day that story came out, he was in South Carolina. Someone asked him what Senator Clinton would do first if she wins, and he said, send me and former President Bush and a number of other people around the world to tell them that America's open for business and cooperation again. Now, that remark drew some notice, not all of it favorable, including from former President Bush. He's kind of in the news a little too much.
Well, you know, that was an interesting study because as people in the Hillary Clinton campaign said, that wasn't a new idea. But when it comes out of Bill Clinton's mouth, it makes huge headlines. And that's what the campaign is being very careful about. You know, when they were together at this grocery store in Des Moines, Alex, I mean, the media horde, all the people were chasing after Bill Clinton as he was, you know, standing behind the deli counter and ordering coffee. And Hillary Clinton was kind of standing by, almost looking like she didn't know what to do with herself. And so, you know, he draws attention. He has that rock star element in the Democratic Party, but they don't put the two of them together all that much because they know they have to be careful.
NPR's David Green in Iowa, where he'll be for the next 2 weeks. David, thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
Matt Bai covers national politics for the New York Times Sunday Magazine. In the cover story for the issue coming this weekend, he writes about what he calls Clintonism. For Senator Clinton to win the nomination and the election, he says she must win the Clinton referendum.
Matt, welcome back to Day to Day. Is that your term, Clintonism?
No, it is very much not my term. I would like to coin that. I'd like to coin a lot of advertising slogans, but Clintonism has been around at least since the early to mid-90s, and it's a term that's evolved to mean different things to different people, but it basically refers to the governing philosophy that President Clinton introduced to the Democratic Party and to the country.
And how would you define it?
Well, I would define it personally as both an electoral strategy and a governing vision. And I think that's very important because it is generally now considered to be an electoral strategy. And if you talk to most Democrats, they'll tell you that Clintonism means effectively finding the middle ground, splitting the difference, trying to outflank Republicans who controlled the agenda. I think if you go back and look at the speeches and talk to the folks who helped design that platform, that Clintonism in its original form was very much a governing vision, and that it said, look, we have a new generation of challenges economically and internationally. The world has changed dramatically, and in fact, the conservative doctrines are obviously not going to help us as Democrats, but actually the democratic orthodoxies of the 20th century aren't especially relevant either. And what's required is a third way, as Clinton put it, of looking at some of these issues, not being resistant to changing the democratic achievements of the 20th century, but also not giving in to the conservative impulse to dismantle all that had been achieved.
Here's something from your article. There have been reports in the last few weeks about Clinton's lashing out at strategists and meddling in his wife's campaign. Are you hearing that this week?
I'm not, Alex. And to be honest with you, I think it was a little bit overblown, as I say, and that's why it's said there are been reports. And then I go on to say, you know, people close to the Clintons say they were exaggerated. I mean, any time a campaign is having difficulty, and the Clinton campaign in the last few weeks has had some measure of difficulty, there's recrimination and questions and difficult conversations and tensions. I think there's a lot of discussion about how to put this campaign in the place that they hoped it would be at this point in Iowa and in New Hampshire and in the rest of the country, and how to beat back the challenge, particularly from Barack Obama and also from John Edwards, and how to deal with some of these overall emotions that are plaguing her, and one of them certainly being a central one, I think, being this perception over Clintonism and what it means and the conflicted feelings that so many Democrats brought out of the 1990s and out into this campaign.
You say the emotions that are plaguing her, but don't you think they must be plaguing him as well? I mean, I don't know if it's possible for him to do this. He certainly campaigned for other Democrats running for the White House, but this is someone with a huge ego, and this is different, isn't it?
Yes, and I think it weighs on him very heavily, and I think it weighs on him for a couple reasons. He sees his legacy as bound up very much in whether or not she wins or loses. That was somewhat clear to me. That's been clear to me in several ways, but particularly when I saw him speak up in the North Country of New Hampshire, and he actually said to the crowd in sort of an aside that he doesn't normally do, he actually said, you know, Teddy Roosevelt proposed a lot of things that fell flat on their face until Franklin Roosevelt came along and passed them. And I think that was a window into his thinking about what a Hillary Clinton presidency would mean for his own legacy. And then I also think he understands that so many of the attacks against her are subtly on some other level, as I've written, an attack on him and on his legacy and on what Clintonism meant. And that does really burn at him. From all accounts of people I hear, when he gets attacked on the right from Republicans, he's fine. He's always shrugged off criticism. But when he gets attacked from the left, when he feels it's the liberals of the Democratic Party who are blaming him for not standing up strongly enough, for enabling a Bush administration, for being too conservative in his policies, that I think really does drive him crazy. And as a measure of how hard it is for him and for the campaign to figure out how to deal with this, you know, I had spoken to him. I traveled a little bit, and I'd spoken to him, and he had said, you know, he wanted to sit down and talk about this and his legacy in the interview and the campaign. Just before the piece was finished, the aides from Hillary Clinton's campaign called and said, well, that's not going to happen. We're not going to do that interview. And I thought it was an interesting window into the tension here, because he wants to defend his legacy, I think. He understands what all of this means for him. But there's a very strong feeling on her campaign that that's not helpful. And when he has opened his mouth and gone out there and tried to – and gone off script and tried to defend himself, as he did talking about how he was against the war a few weeks ago, it has backfired and has created headlines that they don't want.
Matt Bye has the cover story in the New York Times Magazine this weekend. His new book is The Argument, Billionaires, Bloggers, and the Battle to Remake Democratic Politics. Matt, thank you.
Anytime. Thanks, Alex.
It's hard for Bill to take the back seat. Well, it's hard for a lot of husbands. So what's a wife to do when her husband wants to be helpful, but, well, he's just a little too helpful?
I don't know. Let's ask Amy Dickinson. She writes a syndicated newspaper column, Ask Amy. Amy, you're an advice columnist. Say you got a letter from a certain powerful woman trying to get a high-profile job that her husband had just a few years ago. What advice would you give?
Well, first of all, don't you love this? Because I think on some level, any of us who are in marriages or partnerships can understand what must be going on behind the scenes. Now, my first theory is that Bill and Hillary probably staff out some of these conversations. For instance, Hillary's chief of staff might call Bill's assistant and say, you know, Mr. President needs to dial it down a little bit because he's kind of overshadowing the candidate. But, you know, these two have been partners forever, and I imagine that they negotiate this sort of issue very frequently.
Well, what about for the regular folk who don't maybe have a chief of staff? What would you recommend?
Well, obviously, the best marriages or relationships consist of almost constant negotiation, even when you don't realize you're doing it. Sometimes it's as much as at the school board meeting when one spouse is maybe upstaging the other. Maybe it's a look that you shoot. But the fact is, you also, in marriages, you have to be very forgiving. You know, one thing I like about the Bill and Hillary thing is that we get to see sort of in real time a very extraordinary, but in some ways, sort of ordinary couple.
Well, you know, Amy, you always hear these stories about men who retire and come home and the women are frustrated that they're hanging around and they just want them to get back to work or get out of the house and get out of their way.
I get letters like that all the time. It's like the worst day of my life was his last day at work. If a busy executive comes home to roost, guess what he's going to run if he can't run his office? He's going to run you. Now, I actually think that Bill and Hillary are very high-functioning in terms of navigating a lot of this stuff. But you look at Bob and Elizabeth Dole. You know, they each were very prominent politicians, and they handled it quite well and campaigned for one another, and also basically knew when not to. This is something that Bill and Hillary probably still need to work out, is when should he not be around.
All right, let me ask this. What should she say? Because I can't hear that conversation in my own head. What should she say to if she wants to just say, honey, maybe take the jump seat this time when we get in the car? Or what is it?
Well, you know, every conversation like this, you have to start with, honey, I love you. You're so handsome. You know, I think you need to start by appreciating what the person is trying to do. And then you just say, let's try this time. You know, that's something that couples headed into dinner parties work out in their car in the driveway frequently. They're like, don't tell that, wait for my cue. You know, people have to work these things out.
Beforehand, not in real time,
well,
preferably.
You know, when you're on the dais.
Yeah, that's maybe not the right time.
The world's press is looking at you. It's probably not a good idea to shoot the daggers from the eyes, which I know we can all do.
Amy Dickinson writes the syndicated column Ask Amy. She's also a regular on NPR's Talk of the Nation. Amy, thank you.
Thank you.